Good evening. It's a blessing to be with you again. The last time, I think it's been 2 years since we were here, and it was not too long after we started working with Sunset. When I retired from architecture, I told the people at Sunset that we would have more time to do some things if there was a need, and that we would be available. We never really thought about the idea of actually picking up and moving from Wichita Falls to Lubbock. That wasn't even in the picture, but it was for God, and so we moved to Lubbock. And it's been a blessing. Since we've been at Sunset, I want to talk tonight. I'm not promoting Sunset. It's just that Sunset is where we got the opportunity to go into the mission field. And so it's because of our relationship with Sunset that we've been able to go into the mission field. What I'm really wanting to promote is your mission work. I look at the flags and I see the Ukraine flag, which is dear to us, and the Texas flag, which is extremely dear to us, right? So I'm really here to encourage you to keep up the good work and to stay with the work of spreading the word. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Sunset, a few years ago, some 25 years ago, began to relate themselves to schools of preaching in other parts of the world. And it's been a real blessing because up until that time, when we would bring people from, especially from third world nations, to Sunset and train them with the intent of them going back to their own people and spreading the gospel and doing the same thing there, what we were finding was that they got into the American culture and they very often would not return. But since we've been associating ourselves with schools all over the world, those people are being trained in their own culture, in their own environment, and very often by their own fellow Christians. And so The work has grown to the point that we have 74 schools that we're associated with. Some of those are branch schools. Some are satellite schools in the United States that are connected with a church. But with their 74 schools, and we're in 42 nations. My wife and I started going to Ukraine in 2003, and that's the school there is called Ukraine Bible Institute. And we started going there in 2003. And it's a funny thing about God. If you want to do something, you have to do it on his own timetable. And it wasn't until I finally said, okay, Wichita Falls is where God wants us, and I'm going to be happy with that. And then he opened the doors for us to go to Ukraine. And since we've been at Sunset, he's opened the doors for me to teach in Singapore at the Singapore International Bible Institute. It's the other SIBI. I have taught in India. And also, this church has helped me go to Korea on two occasions. So I want to share some of the things that have happened in those contexts. But the main reason that we moved to Lubbock was so that we could be involved in the Solar Player Project. This is a solar-powered audio device. When we receive it, it has the audio Bible in whatever language we ask for them to load it. It comes to us from Atlanta, Georgia. When we get it, we put an SD card in it that has all of Sunset's audio courses in audio. It has a study about how to become a Christian. It has the World Bible School material in audio format, and about 90 songs on it. That's what it has on the English version. And we have that. My role is a solar project manager. My wife and I process the players, get them ready to go into the field, and we keep up with where they've gone, who has what machine, and how many have been delivered. And I keep a database of the names of the people that each that have these solar players. The distribution, you can see, it's kind of pale, but the darker green are the areas where more have gone than in the paler green. So the level of greenness depicts how many players have gone where. The top chart shows that we've sent over 5,700 to Africa. We've sent 2,167 to Central America and so forth. So we've distributed over 10,000 machines. First phase was English. We put 2,000 units primarily in Africa. The second phase was English and Amharic. Amharic is the Ethiopian language. We have thousands of brethren in Ethiopia. And I think when I was here 2 years ago, I showed a short video which was a thank you from the Ethiopian brethren for the solar players. Phase three, we finished last year. Over 3,000 units went to the Spanish-speaking world, to Mexico, Costa Rica, Bolivia. I know you have a Mexico flag, a Bolivia flag. We're working on on Portuguese. And so those are the nations, some of the nations that we've sent Spanish-speaking players. I don't know what it is about the Spanish language, but we have an 8-gig card that we put into the player, and we have a little room left on the English, but on the Spanish, it's filled up. I guess it takes more words in Spanish to say the same thing. Phase four, we're in the middle of phase four at this point, is a distribution of English players to the Philippines. We have sent 2,000, our goal is to send 2,000 players by the end of the year. We've already sent about 1,300, and during the next break in school, more will go. The players that have gone to this, what the picture that you're seeing is a mass distribution that was held in Baguio City. We have a Heritage Bible College in Baguio City, and that is the kind of a centralized area where a lot of Philippine Christians live, because there's been a school at Baguio City for a number of years. And so those players have been distributed to different leaders of the church, ladies who are involved in the church. There was a young child that kept begging, and the men that were there were saying, we really want to give these to leaders. And he said, I'm a leader. I'm going to school, and I'm going to play it at school while we're playing soccer. And so they gave him one. And the picture you see there is Brian Garnett. He's one of the teachers with the Senior Adventures in Ministry. And he has been a missionary in the Philippines and goes back on a regular basis. In fact, he just recently got about 240 players to take this coming week. We distributed the 10,000th player to a young man named Ed Mark Delacion, who is a mechanical engineer in the Philippines, but he comes from a village, and he wants to go back to that village and start the church in that village. So this was a big mile marker for us to reach 10,000 players in that have been sent into the field. I'd like to show you a short video about the distribution. It's kind of a summary of what I've already said, but the focus is on the Philippines.
Philippines, there are young professionals who are not trained in Bible schools, like me, like Edmark. If we are unable to go to Bible school, then the solar play here is essentially a Bible school in itself.
Caters mostly in rural areas, especially those who had no electricity because of its solar capability, and also for those who are starting or there is no existing congregation, it will help some leaders to study more, to help them and guide them.
The work on the solar players continues with additional translations. See if we get the PowerPoint back up. The translation that is the furthest along is Telugu, which is an Indian language, and it's being translated in Bangalore. We're translating some of our material into Arabic. I noticed you have Alfred Haibashi's mission on your wall. He has been translating some of the lessons for into Arabic, and Wissam Youssef, who is a graduate of Sunset, is working in Dearborn, Michigan, the biggest concentration of Islamic people in the United States. And he also is making trips back and forth to Lubbock to translate material into Arabic. We also are translating our material into French. Daniel Farrow is French. He is from Strasbourg, and he is in the process of translating our materials into French. You know, when I first heard that, I thought, well, France is not all that receptive. But France is not, but French-speaking Africa is. And French-speaking Asia is. And so there is a great need for French material in Africa in particular. We've been going to the Ukraine since 2003. We missed 1 year when the war took place, and the school had to be interrupted and until it could be moved to Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine. We still have a building in Donetsk, which is the eastern part of the country, but it's being used to house refugees, and but on the top floor, some of the DNR soldiers are living there. So it's an interesting dynamic. Got Christians on one floor, and Russian soldiers they're not supposed to be Russian, but they are, on the top floor. And last year we celebrated our 20th anniversary of that school, and it's one of the first branch schools that Sunset became associated with. This year I taught 1 Corinthians, which I've been teaching for a number of years. This is the class, my 1 Corinthians class. And this lady, Sveta, came out of a drug rehab program that one of our graduates has been running for about 15 years now. And many of our students have come out of this drug rehab program. A lot of our students have come out of a prison where there's a Christian doctor that has been converting people for many years. In fact, one of our teachers was converted in prison, a full-time teacher on the Ukraine Bible Institute faculty. And we were visiting, and I said, so did you come out of the drug rehab program that Vlasic was running? And she said, well, I don't know anyone named Vlasic. I said, well, you know, he was a graduate of the school and so forth. She said, you mean Slavic? I said, oh, yeah, Vlasic is a pickle. And so those Russian words get kind of mixed up sometimes. This is my preaching class. I teach a class. There's a one-hour class for the women. Then they have women's studies. And then during that same hour, there's a class for preachers, which is focused on preaching better, preaching, learning preaching issues. Last February, I had the chance to go to Singapore. Singapore is a very different place from Ukraine. First of all, it's very tropical, but it's also a very wealthy place. And our student body is very young. We had some that were 18. I think the oldest was 24. and she was ancient in their view. But we had five from China, four from Philippines, one from Myanmar, one from India, and one from Vietnam. And all of the teaching is done in English. So all of these young people have to be interviewed for English proficiency. And if they're not very proficient, then they are not accepted into the program. The ones that had the most difficulty were from Myanmar and India because of the language problems, which surprised me. I thought that the Indians would have a very good handle on English, but the one that the student that we had was had very poor English. And I taught sacrificial systems, which is Leviticus chapters 1 through 10. And the first test I gave, I had one that passed. So, but all of the students passed ultimately because it got easier. But sacrificial systems is a difficult subject for a lot of people. In India, last year after going to Ukraine, I went directly to India, and I taught for a week Colossians and Philemon at the Kerala School of Preaching. Kerala is the state that is the furthest south in India. It's the state where the Apostle Thomas was probably martyred. And the students there are all speak good English, and so the class was in English. These two men, this is the director of the school. His name is P.K. Varghese, and then this is the, one of the instructors whose name escapes me. But that was an interesting experience also because of the tropics. My wife and I love Indian food, so that was a good experience for us, for me. I also taught at the Bangalore Bible College in Bangalore, India. You see the worship service there is being translated into Telugu. They have one worship service for Tamil and one worship service for Telugu. And the worship service that I'm speaking at is Telugu. And the man that's translating for me is the one who is translating Sunset's material into the Telugu language, which he has completed that process, and now it's being videotaped and audiotaped. So very soon we should be able to distribute solar players in India. Interesting thing about this worship service, all of the people are sitting on a thin mat on the floor, and I tried that, and it doesn't work for me. I like padded pews. But the Bangalore Bible College is on the third floor of an office building, and so what you see behind me are tree branches at the third floor level. And I thought the people were very interested in what I had to say, and then I found out later that during my sermon, a black kite, a kind of hawk, had landed in the tree behind me with a rat and was consuming the rat while I was preaching. So I'm not sure how much they got out of the sermon. This church has helped me go to Korea twice now. The first time I taught Colossians and Philemon and a short session on historical Christian evidences. This time I taught the book of Daniel, which is one of my favorites. Korean Bible College, the Bible Correspondence Center has been there for about 14 years. Until recently, they have been connected with the Harding professors, have come in on a rotation basis, but recently Sunset has become involved. They've asked us to be involved. And so now more and more Sunset instructors are going there. It's on the seventh floor of this office building until next year. This is an image, a satellite image at night of North and South Korea. I thought that was striking. The little spot that you see here is the capital of North Korea. This is Seoul. There's about 14 or 15 million people that live there. And this line that you see here is the DMZ. The thing that I thought was interesting about this was that these people don't seem to be as worried about North Korea as we are. They don't seem to be as concerned about what that crazy man up north is going to do as we are. It's not that they're not concerned. It's not that there's a lot of concern about the spiritual situation there. This is a building that's right across the street from the school in Korea. And it houses North Korean refugees. When they come across the line, they are put up in hotels. Apartments. This apartment is for single people. And so they put them up there, and they teach them about the South Korean government system, what their constitution is like. They try to get them jobs. Usually they're fairly low-paid jobs because they come with very little technical expertise. And South Korea is a very highly sophisticated technical nation. I was never outside the access to Wi-Fi the whole time we were there. So they house them there and then get them jobs and make sure that they're good citizens. There. This is a fence on the demilitarized zone. And the rags that you see hanging from the fence are Korean prayers for those two nations to be reunited. And some of those prayers are for families to be reunited because that war has separated for now, 70 years? The North and the South, and some families have family in the North. Recently there was a story about a 92-year-old lady who finally got to see her son. She hadn't seen him since 1951, and he's 68 or something like that. So, and they float balloons across with Bible tracts and snippets of the Bible to try to help those people spiritually. It's estimated that about 40% of Korea claims some form of Christianity other than Roman Catholicism. So you add Roman Catholicism to that 40%, more than half of the nation claims some form of Christianity. In Seoul, Korea, in 2017, like I said, I taught the Colossians and Philemon. The way they do the school there is 3 hours of morning instruction, and then you have 1 hour lunch break, and the meal is prepared by a cook in the school for the students and visitors and the instructors. So we all eat together in a communal dining hall, and it gives you an opportunity to get to know people even better. 2018, I taught the Book of Daniel. This man is the director of the school, Sang-young. This young man is from Myanmar. This lady is from the Philippines. Most of the rest of them are Korean. So the dynamics are very different in Korea. Last year, I had a man who was in his 70s who was a pastor of a Lutheran church, had been for years. I had students who were Pentecostal. I had students who knew very little about the Bible, had some that were studying to get their PhD in theology. So the diversity of students in Korea is very different from any of the other schools where I've taught. And it gives you the opportunity. For example, in the year before last, I had a chance to emphasize what the Bible has to say about instrumental music. In a group of very different denominational backgrounds, and got very little pushback. I expected some pushback, and I got very little. This year, teaching Daniel, I expected to have some questions come up about premillennialism. And some did come up, but they weren't aggressive, oppositional kind of things. They were asking questions. You know, this is what we've been taught. What do you think about that? And so so we'd go to Daniel and say, well, does that fit with what Daniel has to say? And so the opportunity in soul is much greater for reaching people in different denominations. Next year, the Bible Correspondence Center will be in a new building. This is architectural rendering. It's a 4 stories. It's going to have a classroom on the first floor and the second floor. The third floor is going to be apartments for visiting students. We had 3 students who came from too far away to make the trip every day, so they stayed there the whole time in the school. And the accommodations are not very good. There's only 1 apartment, so they put a bedroll down in the classroom at night. And next year, there's going to be 6 apartments and a kitchen and a dining room on the 4th floor. And it's almost finished. They had hoped to be in it by now, but it's still a little bit of work going. We'll never be able to take a picture like the architectural rendering because it's on a very narrow street. You can't get far enough away from it to take a good picture. I really appreciate you making it possible for me to go to Seoul. It was an awesome blessing, and I believe that the students were blessed by the teaching. I've been invited back in January, but because of a workshop, I had to decline that. But so the fact that they invited me back tells me it's okay. The reason that we focus on mission work is because of forgiveness in Christ. We have good news. And I'm going to share with you a story that's probably it happened in Ukraine maybe 10, 12 years ago. But to me, it epitomizes what God's doing in our lives and the lives of other people. What you see here, the 2 people in the middle are Gennady and Ludmila Shabanov. I lost it there for a second. Shabanov. The 2 on the outside, the man is J. Don Rogers, and the woman is Mary Lee Rogers. J. Don is the director of the school in Ukraine. Ludmila and Gennady were communists, and they were atheists, they were anti-religion. The school purchased all of the apartments on the 1st floor except theirs. And the reason they couldn't, they offered them much more than that apartment was worth, but they wanted to be there to oppose what was going on the first floor. We had offices and two classrooms and a communal kitchen and a communal bathroom and shower area. This was in a Stalin-era apartment building, and the Stalin-era apartments were, the apartments had no bathroom and no showers and no kitchens. All of the apartments on one floor shared a communal kitchen and a communal shower bathroom. And that's the way it was on each floor. The school renovated the communal kitchen and the communal bathroom and shower and installed a washing machine for the students that were living there during the time that they were going to school. We happened to be there in the last 2 weeks of August and the first week of September. September the 1st is their first day of school. It's called First Bell. It's a big deal. The kids all dress up. They bring flowers. They have music and bands and so forth. There's no education that goes on that day. It's just a big party to start the school. And the people that have property outside, garden areas, they call them dachas, they very often go and spend the summer at their dacha raising food crops, truck crops like onions and potatoes and those kinds of things. But they'll always come back on First Bell, and they're there for the rest of the year. The first 2 weeks we would be at school were very peaceful and quiet. When Gennady and Ludmila would come, they would put speakers out in the hallway and play the radio as loud as they could. You could barely hear yourself think. Ludmila was especially aggressive. She would come and take people's clothes out of the washing machine and put hers in. She would come and push people out off the stove in the communal kitchen and put her stuff on the stove, and the students would just back off. Some of them tried to study with her, but it was not a good experience. She spread feces on some of the walls. She accosted the lady, Natasha, who was a janitor for the school, and so they had to call the police in. Her husband got sick. He had a fatal illness, and she came and started talking to Jaydon and said, "We have done many, many bad things to try to push you out of this building. And your students have always treated us well. They've never retaliated. They've always treated us with respect. And we'd like to know what makes you different." And so Jaydon studied with her, studied some Christian evidences, showed her that the resurrection was a believable event, showed her that there was a God and that Jesus was God and that he changed lives. We were privileged to be there when they were baptized. I don't know if you can see the smile on her face as she came up out of the water. And Gennady, he was so sick, I don't know that he could smile, but he was extremely happy when he was baptized. The two of them became our brothers and sisters. Gennady died not too long after that, But on the occasions when we went back and were able to worship at the Central Church of Christ in Donetsk, Ludmila was there. Even with his death, that didn't shake her faith. And that's what we have good news, don't we? Jesus saves. We sang that song, Jesus Saves. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. Redemption is the forgiveness of sins. Gennady's sins were forgiven. Ludmila's sins were forgiven. They're not always that radical of a change, but all of us were transferred from darkness to light, to the kingdom of light. You know, there's people here that are in darkness, literal darkness, plus the darkness of Satan. There's people here who have light, but they're still in darkness. The question is, where are you? Are you in that kingdom of darkness, or are you in the kingdom of light? And if you have a need, we're going to sing a song and give you an opportunity to express that need. Thank you, Southgate. And also from Dima Greshuk, who's going to be here in the near future, he asked me to say hello to you and greet you.